Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
We're on a mission from God.
Is on the air. Is on the air.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you be waiting for?
Two, one.
Good Monday morning to everybody up and listening with us. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast. My name is Kelly Mano, here with my best buddy Hoss.
Hello.
Producer Stephanie.
Good morning.
And Molly the farting dog, who is currently at my feet, so I think I'm going to get the brunt of the farting this morning.
Yeah, she left her bed like as soon as the show started. Yeah. And straight to your feet.
I don't know what it is, but we have this really old dog from Stray Rescue, and we love her dearly. Her name is Molly. But she loves to fart when we do the show, and I think it's a morning thing because she's not typically a farting dog. Fun fact, when our other dog, Susie, farts, it sounds like a human. It goes like when you.
That's awesome.
When you, it took me a while to figure out that it really was her, and that's what was happening,
and not one of the kids.
Right, but then it started happening when it was like just me and Susie in the kitchen, and I'm like, well, I know that wasn't me.
That's awesome.
I don't think ghosts fart, but so I have not been on the air in like 2 weeks because I went to Jamaica, Mon. Did you guys miss me?
Yes. You looked like you were having like so much fun. I was really jealous.
Yeah, did
yeah.
I?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
You missed the fake. Well, no, you didn't because you kind of got delayed by fake ice apocalypse.
You know what? I was just going to ask if the whole, you know, because basically, I mean, can we just stop shutting down the whole damn city based on what a meteorologist says?
I mean, the problem is that when we don't, it's mass chaos. And then when they do, it's still mass chaos. It's nothing. It turns out to be like, oh, right. Well, yeah, it did, but the roads were fine.
And
everything
like,
was fine.
Yeah, I would have rather them been right than wrong. Well, you didn't have a flight to Jamaica. They got canceled. You also weren't a bride who got her wedding reception canceled at the Schlafly.
That sucks.
I did hear about that.
Oh, their ass must be grass now. Because and you don't cancel a bride's reception before the weather actually gets there.
Right, exactly.
You know, I understand.
Preemptively, that's...
Like, I get that they canceled, like, Lucy's little pee-wee soccer game and not important stuff.
Yep.
And then had goo on their face because we could have had the soccer game. But that's like, no big deal.
Right.
But when it's a bride's wedding, you make sure that storm is coming. And you know what? If you do, there's a lot of things I could think of that they should have done before canceling that bride's wedding.
Oh, yeah. 100 things.
And us in the wedding business get it. Some people don't. But when you are in the wedding business, you are held to a higher standard than almost any other business to get it done.
Yeah. Thankfully, she did get accommodated, I think, somewhere else.
She did it with the Bistro 44 in Kirkwood. I think that stepped up and hosted her reception. Yep. And I saw the pictures. One of our friends did them, and they're beautiful. So Jamaica was a lot of fun. Because of the missed flight, we were really only there for 2 days.
Is that all?
Not long enough.
It seemed like it was longer.
I thought so, too.
We had a travel day.
Oh, yeah.
So we got there at 7:30 at night. I was completely exhausted. Jimmy at least went down and, like, toured the facilities and met up with our friends for a little bit. I went straight to bed like a grandma. I was so tired. I did go look at the ocean. And so then we were there all day Monday and Tuesday, and then we had a travel day on Wednesday and had to leave at 8 in the morning.
Bummer.
So we would have had another day in there, which would have been perfect, but, you know, all the meteorologists had to freak everybody out.
So who won the pool on how long you went before you started clawing at the doors to get home to your kids?
Well, it was, I did better than I thought I would do, because day one and two there was okay. By the end of day two, as like the sun was going down, I hit this wall of like, I'm bored. I am so tired of laying in the sun on the beach. And I know that sounds like I'm making it up, but I'm not. Like it's wired in my brain that I can relax for like a day and a half. And then I was ready to do stuff. So I started like walking up and down the beach looking for like shells for the kids and drawing their names in the sand and like finding stuff to do. Our friends Addie and Naja, they were there like the full 8 days. My brain cannot
unwind. I don't know if I could do it that long.
No.
I couldn't do that every single day of 8 days.
Right.
But
A couple of days.
Yeah. And if it was broken up, like you lay on the beach one day and then the next day you go
like on an excursion.
Yeah, you
or
go
something.
Do something, you go snorkeling or you go, you know, swim somewhere else.
When I was in college, we used to go on a lot of vacations as a big family, all 18 of us. And one year we went to Grand Cayman, one year we went to Belize, which is essentially you're just going to a beach.
Yeah.
And, you know, 8 days is a long time.
Yes.
But you do, like, a couple days of just chill out. And mm-hmm. then one day we took a boat out to this place called Stingray Bay. And then one day we went snorkeling. And then one day we did this. And, you know, right. so, like, you find ways so you're not just like, here's a beach for a week.
Right.
Have fun.
Right. Yeah, because I was going stir crazy. But, I mean, like, I'm the same girl who can't. Like, do a tanning bed, because if they want me to lay in there for, like, 15 minutes, I jump out at about 12, and I just sit there with my clothes on and wait for the light to click off.
Yeah, you can't sit through a movie either.
Yeah, no. Oh, that's I hate movies. I don't even watch movies because I can't sit through them. But I don't want to leave the tanning bed and let the lady know that I left early, because then she'll think something was wrong with the bed. So I just sit there and play on my phone until the UV lights kick off, and then... So, yeah, laying on my butt for 2 days. But it was fun, and our friends were fun. And, you know, we laid on the beach all day, but then they had all this nighttime entertainment.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, they had these big dance parties on the beach, and that was fun. And then they had the second night, you guys probably saw, there was karaoke night.
Yes.
Nice. Which, if you're not my friend on Facebook, you were missing a lot of really fun stuff.
Yeah.
And
it was good.
We thought we were there to see this steel drum band. And they were coming up later. And normally there's some kind of pre-show at the resort. We stayed at the Ocho Rios Resort. And they did not give me any money to say that. I'm just telling you because everybody's going to ask where we stayed. And there's usually like a pre-show to like the big nighttime entertainment. And little did we know that the pre-show that night was technically us, because they were doing karaoke for half an hour.
Woo!
And we didn't know it. And so my husband signed himself up for Tupac California Love. And at the last minute, I got pulled up on stage. And so we did really good, considering the other people that went before and after us. We killed it. It was nice.
Well,
if you haven't been to Facebook, check it out. And let me see. What else did we do? Addy and Naja got up and did karaoke. I don't know. It's fun stuff. But it was weird being gone. Two things were weird about being gone that long. Number one, not driving a car for 5 days.
It's weird, so, right?
I get back into my car and I'm like... It feels like you're, like, taking your driver's test again.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, how do I do this? And two, I don't ever go this long without talking to Haas.
Yeah.
Because we normally are constantly, like, bullshit texting, like, back and forth about stuff. And I didn't talk to him at all while we were gone. And so he's like, hey, we got to meet up, because he gave us tickets to go see the Capitals play, the Blues. And he's like, and I got an announcement.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay. And so I meet up with him for the tickets, and he gets into the car and he's like, here's your tickets. And he's got this big, like, poopy grin on his face. And I'm like, what are you smiling so big for? And he goes, I got us a hooker.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm like, what? So, yeah. So if you know the show, you know that we like to interview people with interesting jobs.
Yes.
So it doesn't always revolve around sex. We've interviewed a mortician before,
which was fascinating.
Yes, we have interviewed a phone sex operator.
We've the sewer guy.
Yeah, the guy who works.
That was a great one.
The guy who works in the shit pumps under the sewer. We've interviewed a stripper.
Yep.
And, you know, interviewing these people, we try not to ask questions like, "Oh, what's your bustier look like? What color sequin is it?" It's like, what did your dad think when you told him, or what was it like on stage the first time? So tell us a little bit about your friend who's going to come on and what she does. Because when someone says hooker to me, I think pretty woman. I think standing on a street corner waiting for a guy to drive by in a fancy car.
Well, I know she doesn't do that.
Yeah.
It's so odd for me, because I've known this girl. We'll just call her Becky.
Okay.
Because that seems to be our popular go-to name for females.
Becky.
And I've known her for years.
Yeah.
And we were hanging out a couple weeks ago. That was early last week, and we were just small talking, and she made a comment about how there's a company or a website sort of like Craigslist called Backpage, and I guess Congress or somebody last week passed a bill, and Backpage, like, wiped out their entire adult section.
Oh.
Which is basically where all these escorts and all that would go and advertise.
Mm-hmm.
And... she's like, dude, this Backpage thing is just killing me. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So she tells me what's going on. And I go, what does that matter to you? And she's like, and she just gives me this look. She's like, I thought you knew. And I'm like, knew what?
Uh-huh.
And she's like, I'm an escort. And I was like, No, you're not. Like, what's like the initial shock got over? I was like, you have to come on the show.
And then you're like, be cool.
Yeah, yeah.
don't make my face look weird.
So yeah, she's, I go, like, it took me a half hour because I'm like, there's no way she's going to say yes to this. There's no way she's going to say yes to this. And I asked her, and she's like, okay. Well, she's like, she goes, you're not going to like take pictures or use my real name? I'm like, no.
Nope. And if she listens to past shows, she can get a better idea of what we do. I assume they work late hours, so this might have to be a taped episode.
I have a feeling it's going to be taped because I don't think... Well, I know her well enough to know she's not a morning person at all.
But I have a lot
now
of,
I know why.
I have a lot of questions for them because, you know...
She's really cool. She's actually really, really... Like, she's one of those girls that if you met out...
You would never know.
You never know.
Because, I mean, they've got to have a real life, you know, PIMP, right?
I don't think so.
No, sure, not necessarily.
Really? Because you have to have somebody...
I think if you're like a streetwalker... Yeah.
How do you make sure you get your money without a pimp?
I think I'm just going to assume this is a cash up front business.
Yeah. See, these are the questions we need to know.
It's not just cash because I found out because I like a million had a million questions.
She's like, I take PayPal. She's
got Square.
Yes.
You can full on use a credit card. I was like, but what? And my first thought was like, I mean, wouldn't that leave a paper trail? Like
that. You know what? She should attach that Square to her phone, like sexy underwear that hold a phone. And it's like to unlock these.
Right.
Swipe the Square.
For real.
If you want to see my Square, you got to swipe this.
Imagine what her 1040 looks like.
I have to hit her up later.
Does she pay taxes?
Oh, I doubt it.
That's a great idea. And then, you know, how often can you work? Oh, I didn't mean to start the Jamaican thing.
I hit her up last week and I said, hey, what's your schedule this week? Let's, you know, I even told her, I was like, because I have to come get her. She lives downtown.
Oh. Okay.
I was like, I'll pick you up. We'll come out to the show. I'll take you to dinner. She's like, okay.
Oh, are you going to pay for services afterwards?
No.
Maybe. Well, I mean, don't think he'd tell us if he would.
Sometimes that's what comes after dinner.
I mean, you know.
Depends on where you guys go eat.
If it's gratis, but I'm not paying it now.
Do we want to talk about the blues, or is that just going to send everybody into a depression?
Hit the fart noise and we're done. Or the shit yourself noise.
Wait. Okay, so here's a replay of...
The last week in blues hockey.
The last week in blues hockey.
Yep.
Wait, the next one. There we go. Yeah,
this
that
guy,
one.
Hang on. Wait a minute. Let me find him. Oh, why? He's like stuck on forever pause.
Oh. Just like the blues.
Oh. It's probably. Well, there was a not very nice article today about Armstrong. I think it was in.
I'd say he's in real danger right now.
Good. He should be. He made some really, really bad decisions.
I will say this. I would be surprised if you don't see Kevin Shattenkirk gone sometime this week.
Well, wow. We know we're either going to lose Shattenkirk.
We're going to lose Shattenkirk.
And I thought we would either lose a goalie or a coach, but
it's possible.
For once, I don't know if we can blame Hitchcock, and I'm normally...
No, I don't think you can either. However, I think that more than any team in the NHL right now, a coaching change is the easiest thing for the Blues.
It is. Because
you've already got your next head coach behind the bench.
Behind the bench. And Jake Allen, you know, we all know he's having a hard time right now.
It's all mental with him.
Of course it is. He's a fantastic goaltender, but he paid his dues to get here. He was down in the Wolves for so long. He was up and he was down and he was up and he was down. And I swear to God, Hitchcock has some magic forces just to F with our goalies' heads.
Do you think that it's baby related?
Oh, of course I think that's got some.
Because it does coincide. And my friend brought up a point. He goes, what that tells me is that either one of two things. He hasn't gotten a nanny yet. Or he just has a wife who doesn't want to do anything with the kid. He's getting up all night to deal with it.
No. I know for the fact that that's not. The problem is that, you know, first of all, they're men, not machines.
Oh,
and
sure.
So when something in your life happens as big as having your first baby, I know you guys don't have kids.
Well, Tarasenko went through it during the playoffs last year.
Every player does it. And that's what. So I know them well enough from their personal lives to know, you know, that I've seen this pattern of when these men have babies. You know, when you have this new little baby, it consumes your whole life.
Sure.
You are worrying about this baby 24 hours a day. You are studying what poop color comes out of it and comparing it to charts to making sure it's healthy. You're getting no sleep. A lot of these players and their families have no family in town because they all come from other areas. Sometimes family comes in for a little bit. And I've been saying for a long time that the NHL and really all major league athletes, if you're not in a playoff run or some pivotal game, those guys should get like an automatic 5 days off. Automatic. Yeah. 5 days is not that much for a new kid. Your job does not matter that much. It really doesn't. And so I'm sure that Jake would be the first to say, no, 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 it's not the baby. It's me. It's in my head.
Something's mentally wrong.
That is a life-changing thing. And I feel terrible that he didn't get the time off he deserved. I know when Reeves, I think it was when Reeves had his baby, I think it was him, that she gave birth on like a Monday or Tuesday, and on Wednesday he went on a 13-game road trip.
Whoa. Yeah,
that is not normal. That is not normal for, and you know, the players can't ask for these days off because they would be frowned upon. Because they'd be, you know, not tough or why, you know, suck it up and come on.
Right.
I mean, God, poor Oshie's baby was born with its insides on the outside of its body.
Oh, and he got what, 3 days?
Oh, no, one. He missed one game.
Yeah.
That's it. His baby was in ICU and he missed one game. I think it should be mandatory because the guys aren't going to ask for it. I think that the NHL needs to make sure that they're taking care of these guys' families first. And then they're going to get a lot more out of the players. So
I don't think we're going to lose Allen. You know, Armstrong came out, I guess it was Friday, and said, Allen's our long-term guy. That being said, I think we're bringing in a goalie for this year because you cannot, as a CEO, let's put it what it is. He's the CEO of a company as a general manager.
Yeah.
You can't have a season as important as your 50th anniversary when you've just asked the city to pony up for renovations for your arena.
Right.
Slip away like this.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see Shattenkirk moved this week with somebody else, and all sides point to probably we're going to go get Ben Bishop.
So listen, if we get Bishop, that's great. And trading away Shattenkirk, I understand that for a numbers reason. I get the business side of it.
And that's exactly what it is.
But there goes another damn veteran.
And you know what? We have so many defensemen right now, and we're going to lose Shattenkirk at the end of the year. We just don't have the money to sign him again. So trade him and get something for him before he walks.
Unlike the offseason when Armstrong traded half of our core away and got jack shit squat
nothing.
Well, he really
only traded Elliott, and that was a requested trade.
Okay, not traded, but let people go.
True.
Because last year we made it to within 2 games of the Stanley Cup Finals, the longest playoff run we'd had in what, 17 years?
Yeah.
And he dismantled the whole damn core of that team.
You know,
and then he wonders why we're doing so poor this year.
And I don't disagree with that, but whatever's wrong with this team is wrong beyond a point of anything that any of those three individuals could fix.
I'd say there's four. We traded Backus, or we got rid of Backus, Brouwer, Ott, and Elliott. Those are four veteran players who have been there before and have knowledge and experience that you can't pay for. These young kids have talent, but they don't have experience.
There's something wrong defensively right now, and Shattenkirk's a part of that problem because he's not defending well.
No.
Because you can't put all the problems on the goalies right now. But there is where you're missing Backus right now, in my opinion, and again, I'm nothing more than just a big fan. I don't really have any expertise, is there's nothing that's changing. And I don't know anything about Petro as a person or a leader, but I damn well know that by now something would have happened in the locker room if Backus was still here that would have changed something.
Yeah.
And I just don't see him stepping up. Like at this point last year, if the Blues were doing this, Backus would have been front and center in front of a microphone taking the heat.
Yeah.
And you're seeing the same three or four guys every night, and it's not usually Petro who's talking. And I think that is where you're missing David Backus more off the ice in the locker room than on the ice.
I think it's hard to expect a first-year captain to always know what to do and have the right answers. So this is probably definitely a transition year for Petro. And I think
you have to turn the season around, you have to do it now.
Him and Steiner are probably doing the best with what they have left of this core. But at the same time, it's not... Basically, we can see what happened.
This team will not make the playoffs the way they're playing.
Oh, God.
And if they do, they'll be out in 4 or 5 games.
If they don't make the playoffs, Armstrong's getting a box of shit.
Oh, no, Armstrong will be gone.
I will personally... He lives in St. Louis, right?
I think during the season.
We will go on Facebook Live, and we will ring his doorbell and deliver him a box of shit if this team does not make the playoffs.
If they don't make the playoffs, he's definitely gone.
Well, we will give him a going-away gift, and it will be a gigantic box of horse shit for mypoopyou.com. Okay, Well, so that wasn't too bad.
No.
We seem to agree on a lot. I think that Jake, for the record, my prediction is that Jake is going to snap out of this and be fine. So.
I think he will, but I also think that in the interim, yeah. they're going to bring someone in. And that person is not going to be Brian Elliott.
No. And the playoffs are always, the playoff run, the Stanley Cup run, is always about who gets hot at the right yeah. time.
There's two big goalies right now who are on the trade block. Because if they don't trade them, they'll lose them to probably Vegas.
Yeah.
And that is Ben Bishop and Marc-Andre Fleury.
And Bishop's a St. Louis guy, right?
Yes. He's been here before. I think one of those two are probably St. Louis. Well, we got rid of him because he was in a situation where he was going to be a free agent.
Yeah.
And that was the year that Halak and Elliott won the Jennings together.
Okay.
So you can't split those two up.
No.
Bishop was just, unfortunately, the third wheel.
All right. Well, aside from the Blues, we've also got a new president. Saturday was the big vagina march. We will talk about all that in a little bit. I bet you do. But we're kind of sick of politics. So coming up next, we are doing bizarre stories from people who woke up in the hospital and had no idea why they were there or how they got there. And in many of these cases, they woke up in these rooms alone. These stories are freaking me out. We have a guest coming in to tell us her story. So stay with us. If you're listening online, please share that you're listening online so other people can join you. So we will be right back. It is the Kelly Mano Show. I got you to my pad, so now you want to play. But then again, yo, I had to say, why don't you come give me that booty so you can spend the whole night with MCP? I will caress you and rub you like a poochie. You got a promise to give me the oochie poochie. Come on and give me that pretty body. In the kind of position, you have to suit me. Hand to hand, together, you know we will have fun doing the oochie coochie.
Now give me some names.
Lisa, Kim, Angela, Monique. Them awesome freaks with some big physiques. Pam, Deshaun, Teresa, and Judy. Those are the girls with the ghetto booties. Tracy, Keisha, and even Castro. Those are the girls who like to ride the rodeo. Tina, Vaughn, and Dawn, and Reek. Those are the girls who want to get a piece of me. I need the boon and the boon and the boon and me. I need the boon and the boon and the boon and me. I need the boon and the boon and the boon and me. I need the boon and the boon and the boon and me. Yo, this goes out to all the coochie girls living in the oochie coochie world. Remember to steal that pill because I didn't hurt you, baby, but the next man will.
Yeah. MC Brains, you know. So what up, though? What's going on with the oochie coochie booties on duty? Viv Entertainment, the super producer Rico in the house. We out of here. My name is K. Wells, and I got paid big to do this. Peace.
Looking to buy or sell a home? Join the crowd that's moving with Rachel and the Rachel Witt team at RE/MAX. With over 14 years of experience, Rachel is an expert and will guide you every step of the way. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to upgrade, Rachel Witt makes the home buying experience fun again. Interested in building instead of buying? She can help you with that too. Make sure to visit her website, homesalesinstcharles.com, where the MLS listings are updated daily. Or you can call her at 636-720-3836. Tell her Kelly Mano sent you. Join the crowd that's moving with Rachel and the Rachel Witt team at RE/MAX and start browsing for your dream house now at homesalesinstcharles.com.
Look in the mirror and not recognize the person looking back at you? Wish you could go back in time and reverse the signs of aging? Then you need to schedule a free consultation at Aurora Medical Spa. Now with two locations in De Pere and the Chesterfield Valley, Aurora Medical Spa is St. Louis's premier medical spa. Ranked the number one Botox provider in the St. Louis area, offering the most advanced and effective skin procedures. Other services include laser hair removal, tattoo removal, skin resurfacing, microdermabrasion, and much, much more. Consultations are always free. You have nothing to lose, except a few wrinkles. Visit their website to see amazing before and after transformations at auroramedicalspa.com. Mention the Kelly Mano Show and get $20 off your first visit. That's www.auroramedicalspa.com. Aurora Medical Spa. We take skin seriously.
Come on!
Mondays suck a little bit less.
Because the Kelly Mano Show is on the air.
You are listening to the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast. Sorry for the little hiccups in the music there. We would have time to fix it, but it's a live show, so that means we don't. So
I think it's a hardware issue. I don't think it's an easy fix.
Yeah, no, it's something that happened in the middle of the show, and you know, I don't have some fancy paid engineer to come and fix stuff. So hopefully our voices still sound fine, as long as you know, you can deal with the music sounding a little bit on drugs.
I love that we're talking about doctors and people who need help, because I'm about to do something to you that's going to make you go crazy.
Oh, God, what?
I've changed something in your office, and that's all I'm going to say.
I know what it is.
You changed something in my office?
Oh, no.
Damn it, no, no, no. That is the first thing I would know. You broke up Phoebe and Joey.
I did not.
Wait, Chandler, you messed them all up.
Oh, boy.
Hang on. Explain to everybody what's going on. Chandler goes
with Monica. I sort of rearranged the Friends pops.
No, see, Rachel goes with Ross.
I didn't move anybody.
Then somebody
had
did.
Monica up front. It was Monica and Rachel were up front.
There was a gap between two, and I just added to the
Joey
mix.
Joey goes with Phoebe. Here, he can go right there.
Oh, sorry, Axel.
Awesome. Hoss is like obsessed with these little fun pops, and they're really cute.
They're really cute.
They're really awesome.
He tried to make Axl Rose join my friend's one. What we'll have to do is like put a little like ledge here, and we can put Axl right there.
There's two more coming.
Maybe we can. Oh, is there a slash?
There's
one?
A slash and a duff.
Maybe we can put like a little shelf on your microphone.
That'd be awesome.
That would be cool. It is pretty cute over there. I remember my kids for Christmas or something one year. Rocky got Ric Flair, and Libby Lou got Elsa, and they were identical.
Oh, they're completely identical.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that none of them have mouths?
Oh, no, I didn't notice that. It's freaky. They kind of
You know who they don't have, and it surprises me, is Britney Spears.
Really?
There's no Britney Spears. There's no official Spice Girls ones yet.
I wonder if she, like, licensed that or something.
I don't know.
So we have a guest here today. Her name is Jess. Everybody say hi, Jess.
Hi, Jess.
Hi.
Get that microphone a little closer to your lips.
Okay,
you got it. Third date close to the microphone. We got new ones.
How's that?
That's much better. So
I told you, third date close.
Or for me, second date.
All right.
Wow.
Sweet.
Maybe we need to interview her as the guest next week.
All right.
I'm just kidding. Now, so Jess, we're doing this story. I kind of read something online about people who have woken up in a hospital and had no idea why they were there. And the first person that I thought of was our friend Jess, because of something that she has gone through. So she's going to share her story with us. We're also going to take phone calls from people who have been through this. But first, I wanted to read a couple of the stories that I found before we get into Jess's story. I've got three stories here. You know, and a lot of people with these tragic accidents and things like that don't remember anything that happened. Now, Jess, do you know why that is? Have you researched it?
Yes, actually, and I've been told by doctors. And I actually, after my car accident, I was in like occupational rehab, and a lot of people don't remember anything.
Yep.
Wow.
I was told that your mind blocks it out. I guess
to help you survive.
Yes.
So the Smithsonian said, I can't say
that word. You block
out
the trauma, basically.
Well, what I read from, so what happens when you've been through something traumatic, like a car accident or a train derailment, and you don't remember anything. It says victims often don't remember what happens, not because the accident was too horrible or they don't want to remember. It's because the brain wasn't working on making memories at that time. It was working on saving your life. So a lot of those memories don't exist because literally your brain was doing something else at the time. You know, the part of your brain that makes memories was like, hey, we got more important crap on this other side of our brain. We're all going to be all hands on deck over here. And so a lot of times those memories don't even exist. They're not even in, they're not even in there for you to recall. So I thought that was cool. This poor guy. all right. So this guy, this is the gas station story. I woke up in a hospital room with many friends and family in the room, obviously distressed. I had a feeding tube and couldn't talk to ask questions. The last thing I remember was stopping to get gas. This was back in the day when you actually had to walk in and pay for your gas. I was shot in the stomach at a 2-foot range by a guy who had a gun in his backpack. I had no idea. He was in the process of robbing the store when I walked in. I didn't see that it was happening as he had hidden the gun. A lot of people in the store didn't know it was happening either. I asked him if he was in line because he was kind of standing to the side of the cashier, and he turned around and shot me 3 times in the stomach.
Whoa.
I don't remember anything after parking my car at the gas station, but the rest was pieced together by surveillance video.
Wow.
So, hey, I'm sorry, are you in line? I mean, like...
That quick. That's how it happens.
And it's weird how you don't remember anything before it, you know? Oh, this story reminded me of Hoss. I don't know why.
I actually have a story. I ended up in the hospital, but I have a story of me, and it's on video my freshman year. It's going to make me sound so stupid.
Yeah.
I had been recently dumped by my, at the time, high school sweetheart.
Yeah.
And basically stopped eating. Like, I was crushed.
Yeah.
And there's video of me during a college basketball practice where we're running up and down the court, and my body just decided it was done because I really hadn't been taking care of it.
Yeah.
And I drop like someone shot me.
Yeah.
Out cold. And the next thing I remember is waking up in the locker room, and the coach was like, "All right, we're putting people in charge of you, like going to dinner and sleeping."
Yeah.
Wow.
And sometimes medically, people don't remember it strictly because of the drugs. I had a routine surgery in 2012 that was an overnight stay. I knew the surgery was coming, and I still remember nothing while I was there. The kids came to visit. I don't remember it. And the worst thing was that I don't remember the ride home. Like, I was at the hospital, and then suddenly I was home. And I remember getting, like, irrationally mad at Jimmy because I'm like, how did I get home?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you got discharged, and then we got in the car, and we drove home. And I'm like,
started the car.
No, we didn't. Who asked me if I wanted to go home? Am I ready to be home? Did the doctor say? Like, I was so...
You thought someone just broke you out.
Yeah. I had no idea why. Like,
how did I get here?
I have no memory of driving home. But all right. Here's the story that reminds me of Hoss.
Oh, God.
I was sitting at home on my couch watching Voyager on TV. Next thing I know, I was in bed in a hospital with a strange man pulling a catheter out of my penis.
Yikes.
Turns out that while watching Voyager, I got up too fast, and lack of blood flow to the head, I passed out and hit my head on the floor. I'm 6'6". It was a long way to go, and I fractured my skull.
Holy crap.
Thank God I still live with my mom. She called the ambulance.
Wow.
She stepped out of the room for the catheter part to give me privacy since I'm practically a grown man. That didn't work when she heard me screaming bloody murder.
Oh, I bet.
Ran back in the room and saw my Voyager.
Oh, no.
Could you imagine watching TV and then you're in the hospital?
Weird. Well, luckily, I don't still live with my mom, but she does pay enough attention to me that she'd probably be over there within an hour if of just is. Checking on me anyway.
Yeah.
And would have been like, oh, Chris has passed out on the floor.
This is another really crazy story. This one's called The Ladder. Last thing I remember was driving home to a house I'd been renting. Next thing I know, I woke up in ICU, handcuffed to my hospital bed.
Holy crap.
I looked to my left, and there was a sign that read, "Caution, patient spits and kicks." Then I passed back out. I should note here that I'm a pretty responsible guy. I wasn't drunk. I had just moved to a new city for a job, and I really didn't have any friends or family in the area yet. Turns out when I got home, I was locked out of my house. My landlord was gone for the weekend. My cell phone shows I tried to call him. Since I didn't have my keys on me and I couldn't get in and I didn't know where to go, I went around the back alley and found a ladder by the dumpster. I tried using some combination of the dumpster and the ladder to get in my window, and at some point I fell off the top of the ladder onto the pavement and cracked my head open. This is where it gets interesting. An anesthesiologist happened to be driving by and saw my climb and my fall. So the man stopped, called an ambulance, got me to the hospital, and in surgery within 30 minutes of my fall.
He's lucky.
The only reason that the anesthesiologist was in that neighborhood was because he had gone to dinner with his daughter, and they decided to drive by their old house where they'd grown up in, and it happened to be on the same street.
Wow.
And it was like, that guy...
He's lucky.
Nobody would have found him.
He could have bled out.
Because he was kind of like behind. And that was a thing where, you know, he wasn't drunk. Because a lot of these stories start out drunk.
Right.
These guys were all sober, most of them, I think. And just, you know, you're at home watching Voyager. And the next thing you know, you're in the hospital. And so just...
Is that a Star Trek?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
I was trying to figure that out, too. You can turn on that fan if you want, Hoss. It's getting steamy in here. So
yeah, it is.
Now it's time to talk to Jess. It's time to talk to Jess. So Jess was in a car accident. And I know this because even though we weren't technically friends, we were working at the same place at the same time.
Right.
I was giving birth to baby Rocky. So first tell us how old you were when this happened and kind of what your life looked like at that time. What were you doing? Who were you hanging out with? What was your, you know, kind of daily routine?
What were you wearing?
Oh gosh, I think it was,
what year was it? 2004?
Yes.
Okay.
I was doing promotions at the radio station and
were you full time or part time?
I think at that point I was part time.
And you were at 93.7 The Bull,
yes,
right?
I had just graduated college, graduated in May. This was in October of the same year, 2004. And I think I was done when I was,
sorry, Hoss can't work a phone or a fan. So I know it was 2004 cause I was working on air at the Bull at the time. And at the same time that I had Rocky and he got really, really sick, another intern at our station died.
Yes.
And
then that was in the same week.
It was all in the same week.
Yes.
And so you were single. How old were you?
Oh gosh. 25, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe and not even. 23?
What were your duties at the radio station?
I just graduated. So I was done doing the morning show. I did the morning show on the Bull. So I was already done doing the morning show, but I was doing promotions part-time. And, I mean, you would do stuff late at night, early in the morning. And this was the event I was going to was actually at a Walmart. And it was they were like doing a red carpet deal for
at a Walmart.
Yeah, for like Cosmo magazine or something.
Okay.
And I think it was like a 10 o'clock gig or something like that. So I was at the station pretty early to like get my stuff and get out there. And it was off of 55 in Herculaneum.
So you were driving actually the station van.
Yes.
Now those are some big old cargo vans.
Yes.
Is this still back in the days when there was like a huge mast on the van?
Oh, I think it had a mast. Yes.
I think all of them had the big antenna all like folded down and stuff like this. So these are big, heavy videos or vans. Now, did you have to have any special permit to drive the station van?
No. They don't let anybody drive those things.
I never got to drive a station van.
Are you kidding? Man.
I have worked for every radio station in this damn town and nobody let me drive the vans ever. Or the Hummer when the Point was there.
Oh, yeah. Z had a Hummer, too. Yeah. I drove that. Yeah.
So,
I used to take the expeditions home.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. I've taken all those vehicles home. Are you
kidding
me? Park
them in your driveway.
Yeah. Yep.
Where were you living at the time, or who were you living with?
Oh, gosh. I was living with, actually, a group of my friends in St. Charles.
Okay. So, you get up in that morning, you leave and go for work, and you get to the station. Tell us...
I remember that. Okay. I remember getting to the station. I remember stuff from the night before. I remember talking with some of the morning show guys before I left, and then I left. Everything after that, I don't really remember.
Wow.
So do you remember driving the car at all?
No.
You have no memory of driving the car?
No.
And this was the day. It wasn't before cell phones, but it was before smartphones, so it's not like you would have been on your phone driving and talking to people constantly.
Yeah, I had a cell phone, but I don't. Okay. No, it was before that.
So you have, was it a head-on collision? How did the accident actually happen?
That I don't remember. But from what I'm told, I was on 55 in Herculaneum, and I was in a construction zone, and it was stop and go, stop and go. Mm-hmm. And I hit a straight truck that was in front of me. The promotions director at the time thinks that the truck in front of me didn't have brake lights that were working or like maybe had some out and stopped all of a sudden, and I didn't stop and just nailed him.
Well, because I remember seeing pictures of the van after the accident, but you said you were in stop and go traffic, so that would make me think you weren't going very fast.
Right. Like I said, I have no recollection.
There weren't any witnesses. I guess it was kind of a, not a hidden road, but...
You know, I did an event down the road at Scott Trade Center. I ran into a guy and he was like, "You're Jess, right?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "I remember your face." And I'm like, "Okay." And he's like, "You don't know who I am?" I was like, "No." And he's like, I was one of the paramedics on the scene. He's like, "I stared at your face for hours." He's like, "You were trapped in the van." So everything, basically, I was wearing a seatbelt, but apparently I was too small to be wearing a seatbelt. So,
what's that like?
So, yeah, sorry. So the seatbelt basically pulled on me and ruptured my small intestine.
Holy crap.
And everything but my head was inside of the dashboard.
Oh, my God.
So I was stuck in there. And they were using the jaws of life to get me out. And this guy was like, he was there. And he's like, "I will never forget your face."
Yeah, those seatbelts on us small girls, they pull so tight. You can't even hardly breathe. So I cannot imagine.
You had to be going to... a somewhat decent rate of speed.
That's what I said. So I guess I was just like, that's exactly what I thought. So I had to be, if I was in stop and go traffic, I had to be going somewhat fast for a certain amount of time and then just had to like stop all of a sudden. Apparently I didn't stop. I don't know.
I wonder if there's, I'm sure they'd have today, maybe not back in that time, but I wonder if there's some sort of forensic science or something that can estimate how fast you're going to, based on like the damage to the cars and things like that.
Now, before we get to your hospital stay, do you have any, because sometimes people will have bits and pieces of waking up. Do you have any recollection of being transferred to the hospital or anything like that?
Do you have any flashbacks of the accident?
No. And that's what I was going to say before. So, you know, like you were talking about your brain blocking things out, or, you know, your brain going into like panic mode saying we need to do this instead of making memories. One of the doctors did tell me that I might have, like, bad dreams about it, but I probably will never remember. I've had a couple of weird dreams, but nothing that, like, pieces anything together.
Right. And so who was the last person to see you before the accident? The people at the station?
Yeah, I guess.
And at what point did people become alarmed that you didn't show up where you were going?
We joke about that a lot.
5 minutes before the event.
Right. No one from the event ever even called and were like, "Where are you?" Which is like...
radio!
Which is like...
Didn't they need the van, though? Like, weren't they concerned at least about the van?
You know, and I'm shocked that at that time, I didn't have an intern with me or someone else with me, because usually, and it wasn't a live broadcast, so it was just just a station promotion.
Yep.
Okay. So there was no jock that had to meet me there or that was riding with me.
So the van was there just for presence.
Yeah, and it was basically, hey, show up, shake hands.
Right. Hand out some
babies,
free stuff.
And pass out stickers and stuff like that.
Movie passes.
So then who was the first of your, who found out what was going on with you? Was it your work or your family?
I think it was my work. I think they got a call and started calling my emergency contacts. And I remember my mom had called my brother, and he was going to school at Rankin at the time. So he was the closest to Barnes. And so he went over to Barnes where I was airlifted. And there were news reports, and he's in the waiting room, and he's waiting, and he's watching the live breaking news about this accident.
Yeah, they had helicopters over her van. They were showing, because it was a radio station van, and they're like, 93.7 the volt, but, you know.
Ooh.
So my brother's watching this in the waiting room, and he goes up to the nurse, and he's like, "Is she dead? The news is saying that she's dead. Is she dead? And you guys aren't telling me that she's dead?" And he's freaking out.
I would too.
And I guess somebody was reporting it as a fatality, and it wasn't. And he was freaking out that I was dead, and he was the only person there at the time. So
you get to the hospital, you know, and obviously your brother is the one who's going to contact all of your other friends and family. Before you tell us about the actual waking up, how long were you out before you woke up?
Like, I have no idea.
Do you have an estimate?
I have no idea. No, I was in the hospital for about a month.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And for a lot of that time, I was in a drug-induced coma.
Okay.
So but they would wake me up temporarily, To check on status of pain, but I was also on morphine, so I was
going to say you were on the good drugs.
Yeah, I was all talking crazy. I have no idea how long I was out.
What was the first real memory you had of waking up in the hospital that was like a lucid memory of like you woke up and you're looking around and there's people there and you don't know why you're there? Like, did you have any thoughts about why you were there?
No, backing up a little. So after the car accident happened and they got me out of the van, apparently I was like, oh, I'm okay. And I tried to walk away and my left leg, like the bone was completely shattered and I couldn't walk away, but I was trying to like walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been told that that's part of like, you know, your brain wants you to think that you're okay.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, so I'm like adrenaline. Trying to walk away. I'm like, oh, I'm good. And I'm trying to walk away while I'm like bleeding everywhere and my leg is crushed.
Wow.
Sure.
So, wow. But no, I don't really know what the first memory of me waking up in the hospital was. I do remember.
Well, who told you how you got there? At what point did you realize I've been in a car accident and I've been unconscious for a week or two?
I have no idea. I was just sort of there.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember they, at some point, they wheeled me downstairs and they were trying to do like an MRI or something, where one of those that you had to like swallow the barium stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And here, like, I've been on feeding tubes and stuff and I haven't eaten for weeks.
Oh, geez.
And they're trying to get me to swallow this barium stuff, which is like
chalk.
Drinking chalk. And I told the guy, I was like, I don't know. I took one sip and I was like, I don't think that this is going to go very well. I might throw up. And he's like, no, it's okay. Just drink it. And I puked all over this guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, I told you.
Exactly. Exactly. So are there any other like specific nuggets or anything from the hospital that you do remember? What's your first lucid memory? Was it being at home?
Like, no, I remember being at the hospital and I was like dying to leave. Like, I was there for a month. I was dying to leave. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what was going on. I had no clue.
But you don't remember the point when you actually realized, okay, I've been in a car accident and that's why I'm here.
No, I don't remember that moment.
How long were you in the hospital for a period of time where you knew, I'm in a hospital?
The only thing I can remember is that day where I was able to leave.
Really?
Yeah, I don't remember any of that stuff. I mean, I vaguely remember, like, my aunt always asked this, because when I was in a coma, you know, there's always that, you know, people always say that when people talk, you're supposed to talk to people when they're in a coma because
right.
they know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
No idea. She asked me all that all the time.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's like, do you remember me talking to you? And I was like, no, I don't remember any of that stuff. I do remember my aunt did come up there and she would like help give me a bath and stuff. And she was like, this is terrible. But she shaved my armpits because she said it looked like there were mini afros under there.
That's awesome.
Like I was in the hospital for a month. Like, what?
I'm sure.
Like, I was, you know, I couldn't take it.
Listen, if I were in the hospital for a month, I would want somebody to shave my armpits.
Like, thank you.
That's looking out for a friend.
It really is. It is true that you are supposed to talk to people who are in comas, because several people come out and say, I could hear you. And some of the best.
I don't remember that.
Some of the best nurses out there will come in and out of a patient's room and be like, you know, good morning, Jess. I'm here to take your temperature. Or, like, they tell the patient what they're doing
mm-hmm.
and treat them as if they're awake, even if they're not. So, well, Jess, I remember that story. I know you said a lot of your pictures are in storage, but
I'll try to find one. I know there's not any pictures of like my face or anything like that.
But there is
a picture of the van. Yeah.
Oh.
So we will put that up on kellymano.com later today. And we have a caller. We have Rob on the line. And so Rob actually went through something similar to this recently. Rob's story is a little bit different. Let me see if I've got the phone up. Rob, are you there?
I am.
All right. Can you hear us okay?
I sure can.
All right. How do I turn Rob up? Let me see if I can do it over here.
There you go. That should help.
No, I don't think that did.
No, we turned him up on the phone.
Oh, now say hi, Rob.
Hi.
Oh, there we go. So,
is that better?
Way better.
Much better. So, Rob, your accident actually happened recently. So tell us a little bit about, like, kind of how old you are, what family you have, what your life looks like at the time of this accident.
I'm 44 years old. I have two daughters. I'm single, and I was in sales, and I live in Seward, in South City here. I love the city. And right now, my life kind of sucks because I lost my job and from being in the hospital and not being able to perform the duties.
Well, how old are your daughters?
19 and 11.
19 and 11. So not little kids.
No.
Tell us what you were doing. Tell us everything you remember up to your accident, and then we'll talk about what actually happened to you. But tell us your last memories before the incident.
The last memory I had before the incident was driving home from work on Thursday night.
So it's a Thursday night. Is it dark outside? Is it winter or summer?
Well, it's November.
November, so it's dark.
I guess so, yeah. I really don't remember. I don't have much memory of.
Did you work the day shift, like a 9 to 5?
9 to 6.
9 to 6. So you're coming home.
Yes, ma'am.
You're driving home from work. So I guess the last people to see you were your employees. And what is the next thing that happens to you? I believe it was your daughter that found you.
Yeah, and this is, I don't know, I'm just going off of what she told me is she found me in her front yard over at my dad's house, who lives in the Tower Grove area, at like 5 or 6 in the morning. She said she heard me out front in the front yard moaning, and they she said that they went outside, and I was like on the side of the house, and that I was laying on the side of the house and that I was moaning and unresponsive. So
now, was this the house you lived in? You said this was your dad's house. So were you staying with him?
No, I live in Seward. He was in Tower Grove.
So this wasn't even your own home?
No, ma'am. I don't even know how or why I ended up over there. Unless it was like subconsciously, you know, that I went there for help or something. I don't know.
Where was your car?
At my dad's house.
It was at your... And was it parked normally? It was in the driveway or...
Yeah, they said it was parked like normally on like parked good on the street, like on the, you know, city parking on the side street, you know.
Do you have any recollection of waking up in your front yard, or is the next thing you remember the hospital?
I have no recollection of driving there, of being there, waking up there. The last thing I remember after that was waking, or was like coming through. Like they said I was awake at points in the hospital, and then I was like talking and. But they said that I was, like, constantly repeating myself, and, like, I had, you know, definitely an awful state. Go ahead.
Do they, so your daughter's obviously calling an ambulance, and they get you to a hospital. Right. What was the diagnosis? What do they think happened to you?
I went back, like, whenever I got discharged, I went back to the hospital again because I was still having severe headaches.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was actually able to talk to the ER nurse or the doctor actually, and I asked. I said, "What happened to me?" And they said, "We don't know. There was no witnesses."
What was physically wrong with your body?
2 skull fractures. I think I got hit by a car. Would be my guess, just the way that the injuries were, because everything's on the left side of my body.
So if it were a situation where you got jumped, you would think you would have. Injuries on both sides of your body.
Well, that and that, I think a couple things. I'm not a little kid. I'm 6'7", 300 pounds. So I think if I got jumped, I probably would have held my own a little bit and would have remembered that going up to that, you know?
Yeah.
But then all the injuries on the left side of my body, like I said, it was my big toe was broken. My left ankle was fractured, and my daughter has pictures of everything when I was in the hospital, and, like, my whole foot just, like, blown up like a football.
When you woke up in the hospital, were you by yourself, or were there people in the room with you?
My ex-girlfriend was in the room, and my daughter was in the room, and then there was a doctor in the room, and I don't think it was a matter of me waking up. I think it was a matter of me, like coming out of it or something, because it's not like I, you know, was laying there in a bed and, like, I remember opening my eye. I don't remember, you know. I just that's the next memory. I remember being in the ICU at SLU. So.
And you had no idea how you got there. How did they explain it to you? Because I guess they didn't even really know at the time either.
They said that due to the type of injury that I had, that it's common for there to be memory loss. And because I had more of the injuries, whereas I had 2 skull fractures. One on the left front temple area, and the other one was in the very back of my head. which are still sore. There was no bruising or anything, but then I had three brain contusions and bleeding to the brain. And then also like broken ribs on the left side.
Wow. And so this just happened in November. So we are only a couple months out. So you're definitely still in the thick of it, to where Jess is, you know, years and years out of this and maybe can, you know, provide some encouraging words for you. Cause I know that this isn't a good time right now, but, you're not back at work yet, but do you see that coming anytime soon? Are things getting better?
I hope so. It's really killed me financially, and I haven't, you know, not being able to work, and I'm actually having to move out of my place because I can't afford it.
Yeah.
It's definitely put a damper on my life, and it's definitely screwed things up for me. But they, I mean, it's even affected my I can't smell and taste.
Oh, wow. Jess, yeah. Did you ever have any trouble with that kind of thing once you were recovering?
I don't know.
Because you don't have any, like, lasting effects right now, right?
Other than that, I still have headaches, and I still can't remember what happened.
Well, hopefully.
Said it was a post-concussive. When I asked the neurosurgeon, because I went to go see a neurosurgeon.
Yeah.
And they have me coming back for neuropsychological testing, which can't do because I don't have insurance anymore. But anyway.
Isn't our system great? Maybe Donald Trump will help you. Yeah, trust me. We went through something with my dad when he was going through cancer, and his employer dropped him too. It's not a pretty situation on the back end of being sick or getting any accidents. But thank you so much for sharing your story with us, Ron. And if you have any pictures, send them over, and we'll put them off on at kellymano.com as well. Because, you know, we want to pimp out all you people and your injuries. I'm just kidding. anything else from you guys? I mean, I thought that was fascinating because I don't even like waking up from surgery because just those 30 seconds of not knowing where I am is terrifying, even though it's a routine procedure, you know? So thank God none of us have ever been through anything like that. You guys are so quiet. Is anybody else in the room? Hello? Hello?
It's just a fascinating story.
Yeah, so, oh, crap, I just pulled out my headphones. Oh, there we go. So thank you, Jess, for coming by.
You're welcome.
We have already hit over an hour into the show, but...
there's so much more to talk about.
Are we going to talk about the vagina march?
Sure, I'll always talk about that, and marches.
I mean, that's really the only thing that we didn't cover. I don't want to talk about politics.
No, can I just say that it's not political as much as it is just common sense. Leave Barron Trump alone. It's a 10-year-old kid.
People are idiots. And that was an SNL.
Yeah, he's awkward. He's 10.
Yeah, that was an SNL writer that did that too. And
it's more, I mean, she's the most highly profile one, but they've been kind of zinging him a little bit ever since the election night where it was 3 a.m. He's 10 years old. Yeah, he looks out of it.
Yeah.
I'd be out of it if I was.
Could you imagine if we stuck a Rocky in a suit up there
at 3 a.m. and said, act normal?
Like, with his hockey hair. Where's his food? Hello? All right, we will be right back. Jess, thank you for stepping by. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show. We'll be right back.
You risked your career for me. I know it as well as you. Nobody wanted to with a Dre. I'm dying. I need you. Come back for me.
Guarantee those screen Dre don't leave us like that, man, cause
I'm about to lose my mind.
Classy and a little smartassy.
Okay, the classy part might be a stretch. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show is brought to you by the Painting Party Gals. If you didn't see the adorable pictures of Libby Lou's 7th birthday party, you need to make sure you check them out on my Facebook. Painting parties are so popular right now, but what the Painting Party Gals do that is different is they come to your house. It was so nice to have somebody else clean up my kid's birthday party besides me. That doesn't happen very, very often. And as a matter of fact, one of the little girls at Libby Lou's party have already booked a party because they had so much fun and it was so easy. All the kids, like the birthday girl gets to pick the painting and then, you know, it's just a, kind of like a step by step. But they bring everything, the paints, the canvases, the stencils, everything you could possibly need. If you want to book a party, you can email them today at thepaintingpartygals@gmail.com or give them a call at 618-593-0772. That is the Painting Party Gals. You can also find them on Facebook. Look for my pictures of Libby Lou's party on Facebook. And when you reach out to them, let them know that Kelly Mano sent you.
Yo, remember back on the bully when cats used to harmonize like. My men and my women, don't forget about the dean. This is not the most the king, yo. It's about a thing,
looking for your friend, the one you let hit and never called you again.
Remember when he told you he was about to Benjamin's? You act like you and him, they give him a little trim.
All right, so pretty much everyone on Facebook is a giant asshole right now.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. The normal people are keeping quiet because we just get attacked. I mean, it's just, you know, and the guilt goes to both sides.
Oh, yeah.
Because what you have on your Facebook feed is the far left losing their minds on people and the far right losing their minds on people. And then you have the people in the middle, which is a category I think I fall into, where it's like, hey, I'm not a Donald Trump fan. Never said I was.
Right.
But I also don't think he's Satan.
Right.
I would really rather give him a chance to see what he does and then make my own decision. I wish he wasn't our president, but I don't think the sky is falling. And so people like me who are in the middle literally can't say anything on Facebook, because even people who try to post something positive like, hey, guys, like, I feel for you. Let's all get through this together. You know, one step at a time, we're going to give them a chance. And then people are like, no, you can't. And then they just start barfing up their politics. It, like, literally, you cannot say anything without offending somebody right now.
And that's the truth. And it seems like if you are not extreme one way or another, that you're in the wrong.
Oh, yeah. No. If you are somewhere in the middle going, hey, you know what? I'm going to make my own decision and figure it out one day at a time. You are Satan.
Yeah.
Because you didn't say something bad or good. Is something playing?
It's mine. It's just...
Oh, just turn it down. Yep.
Facebook Live.
So, yesterday was the Women's March.
Yep.
I didn't even know anything about it. I saw
you didn't get your women's all hands on deck bulletin?
No. See, I'm pro-life, so I don't get invited to any of that stuff.
That would probably prevent you from being part of it.
I did somehow accidentally get added to this group called, like, the Pantsuit Nation one time.
Oh, Lord.
And it was hysterical. I think they kicked me out because, I don't know. I left. I think I got kicked out, but it was insane. And so, I will say this about the march. Anytime that I see, like, a big group of women getting together for a cause, it makes me happy. And so I thought, like, a lot of the pictures were really cool and beautiful, especially the ones from, like, overhead of the march that showed, like, all the women that came out together. I saw some people there with, like, great signs that, you know, had, like, important messages on them. And then I saw screaming women dressed like vaginas with the word pussy written all over their sign. Like,
yep.
it was both extremes. It was like, oh, this is beautiful. Oh, this is effing ridiculous.
Yeah, I feel like I'm very unqualified for many reasons to talk about it. But the one thing that I will say pro and then against is I thought it was really, really interesting and smart. And I don't remember who said it. In talking about women's issues, said, that's great. If you want to talk about women's issues, let's talk about the economy, because that's a women's issue. Let's talk about global warming. That's a women's issue.
Like, yeah.
And that's the truth. Like, there doesn't need to necessarily be a separation. That being said, I get there's obviously issues that lend themselves more to you ladies than me. And obviously that always circles back around to abortion. A lot of people were talking about Ashley Judd's speech.
I watched Saturday. Like the first few seconds.
I was fine with it, and I thought she made some great points up until it devolved into a white privilege thing.
And that we're supposed to feel bad for being,
like,
white.
I don't understand. And that's the root of it, is I don't understand. And I'm sure that if I was in a different class, maybe I'd have a different perspective. But I don't understand why we continually make this argument when, truth be told, pretty much every kid now has the same opportunity to do what they want. You know, there's no advantages I have aside from maybe, like, the type of school I go to. But... again, like, it's a public school. Yeah. I didn't go to private school.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there are differences in kids that are born into, like, a loving family that supports them and a kid who's born into foster care and bounces around.
But there's white kids that go through that, too.
Exactly. I was going to go to the march, but I didn't have a uterus-shaped hat.
I want one.
You want a uterus-shaped hat?
Absolutely.
So I thought the women's march was cool. I was really proud that the women were able to go and do it peacefully.
Yes.
Because... unlike the other protests this week, they've been terrible. So good job to the women for that. I will say that I have no concept of why they were marching. I have not seen one solid, united reason. It seemed like they were all excited to march, but nobody really knew why. Because I saw signs from Donald Trump, you can't have my private parts. And then I would see, like, a random, like, the old Black Lives Matter.
Right.
And then I would see one that's like, we need better health care. And then I would see one that says, like, don't take a, you know, it's a lot of it was just women's rights.
Right. I think that there is, and I have a friend of mine who, you know, we've had her on the show.
Yeah.
who she didn't march, but she is very active in women's rights.
Which surprised me. I thought she'd be leading the way. Sure. She's one of those girls.
And like, I'll talk to her with her all the time about things like that, because I get it. And like, I try to think of myself as somewhat progressive.
Yeah.
And I said, so, you know, why is there now suddenly this whole we have to stand up and march thing when, like, these aren't new issues? And what she said was, there is a real fear among women right now that with some of the things that, you know, Trump has said and done, and this, it's not necessarily an anti-Trump movement, but he's obviously a big focal point.
Yeah.
That things are going to regress in a major way. And one of the things she showed me, and I disagree with this analogy, because what she showed me dealt with a country that's government is based on religion. If you look up pictures of women in Iran in 1960, they're in swimsuits and look like pinup models. And then you look at them now, and they're completely covered because of Muslim law. That's not going to happen here.
And it wasn't for religious reasons that they were covered up?
Oh, of course
it
was.
Because thinking that women's rights are going to go sliding downhill, to me, is an irrational fear. Nobody is going to come in and take away... I have no fear. I mean, like, for me, I don't feel like I'm missing any rights. So when somebody's marching for women's rights, I have all the rights I want. I can drive. I can vote.
Yes.
I can you know, have it a family. Really, I can leave my family.
It really boils down to abortion. It always has. It always will. You know what I mean?
Now, abortion is a whole other horse that I really don't want to go riding on.
And I don't think we need to. But at the end of the day, that's always what it's going to circle around, because you have two parties who lean different ways. The Republicans are typically more pro-life. The mm-hmm. Democrats are typically more pro-choice.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a change in party now, and the other side is going to freak out and think, oh, we're going to defund Planned Parenthood, we're going to do all these things.
Well, that's fine with me. Everything. That's completely fine with me. I'm pro-life. If we defend Planned Parenthood, I'm happy. Because I understand that women need access to medical care, but to me, that can be done through doctors
mm-hmm.
and clinics and places that don't perform abortions. Because I know people, and listen, I know that I'm not going to change anybody who's pro-choice to pro-life. So
sure.
Please don't think I'm trying to start an argument with anybody. Because honestly, arguing about abortion,
nobody's going to win that
argument.
I
will roll my eyes so hard, I will see my own brain. Okay.
Yeah. No, I get it. And
that's
not a
fight that I want to get into. But the point is that Planned Parenthood performs 300,000 abortions a year. So whatever else they do, the minute you bring in that abortion clause, I'm out.
Yeah.
Because let's say for gender reason, half of those babies were women. Where were those rights?
Yeah.
They didn't have any. So I would love for women to have, you know, health care and access to birth control. I'm not a Duggar. I don't think that, you know, I don't think everybody needs to have 20 kids. I think that women should have great access.
It's not a clown car. Not a clown car.
The Duggar ladies is.
Yeah, it is.
I think that women should. But yeah, for me, strictly for my pro-life platform, I have no interest in helping Planned Parenthood.
And I thought it was interesting that you and Jen were talking about the reasons, like, you guys support women's rights, but you didn't go and march, and that's okay. And that comes back around to what we said at the start of the segment was...
I didn't know what the hell they were marching for.
You can't... It seemed like if you were a woman and you said, oh, I'm not going to march, you got accosted. Like, how could you not march?
Oh, listen, honey. See that license plates over there on the
I
wall?
I know.
It says girl power. I drove it on my car for 10 years before being a feminist was even cool.
Yeah.
So whether or not I march has nothing to do with that.
I agree.
I love that the women march. Go for them. Like, I'm glad anytime women can do something together and make it beautiful and make their voices heard. I just didn't necessarily hear what they were saying.
I just think that there is a bit of, and not completely unfounded, but a bit of a... unsubstantiated fear that people automatically think everything is going to change because of Donald Trump.
Oh, God. It's not, you guys. I know. Everybody said that about Hitler.
Yeah.
It's a different world. It's a different time. And it's a different group of women. And so I probably would have really looked into going to the march. But again, being pro-life, that's not their platform. And I think I would have got bullied right out of there.
I think you're right.
I think that if I showed up with 10 buttons on my jacket about women's rights and one of them said pro-life, I would say maybe 10% of the women there would have been kind to me. And the other 90% would have bullied me out of there.
I think you're absolutely right.
So I don't have a place there. But I did find this great group on Facebook It's called New Way Feminists. I found them. They did an interview on one of the television talk shows, and they are a feminist group that has a pro-life platform. And so I started following them on Facebook. So far, so good.
Cool.
So far, no drama. The lady who runs it seems really nice. And yeah, good stuff. Steph, you're quiet over there.
Yep.
Anything to add to this? You are a woman. You are pro-choice.
I am. Yeah.
You are like, can I say a leaning liberal?
Yeah.
A leaning liberal.
Yep.
But did you go to the march?
I didn't.
Why not?
Well, lots of reasons, but like, you know, it was just, I don't, the main one is going to sound so totally stupid. I don't really like big crowds.
Yeah,
I get it.
No, I mean, like, I support them 100%, you know, and like,
you gotta park and
yeah,
you walk,
and you know, and like you said, being, you know, I am pro-choice. I believe in a lot of the things that they were marching for, you know, and I'm sure I'm going to get totally slammed for this, but like, I just, I'm not comfortable, that comfortable in really large crowds occasionally, but like this, I knew this was going to be huge.
Right.
It's going to be a really, really big thing, you know, and I was supporting from afar, and I, you know, I love all the feminists that went out and did that, and I think it's wonderful, you know, and I was there in spirit, but yeah, I couldn't bring myself to get down there.
I have a friend, we won't say his name, but his whole family went down.
Oh, of course they did.
Yeah.
Did he tape a fake vagina on the front of himself and paint himself white? Or no, paint himself black?
I don't know.
I don't know. Oh, my goodness. Hoss, you're mad at the ladies for leaving their signs everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, come on, ladies. You did so much good stuff, and then you just throw your shit down and leave. Like, can you not pick up after yourselves? Like, I'm not even asking you to pick up after me.
I was watching the live feeds of the women marching and all the asshole trolls that were like, I hope they did the laundry first. Hoss, why don't you tell everybody the meme you sent me yesterday?
I'm gonna get in so much trouble for this. All right, hold on, let me find it, because I don't want to misrepresent this. Ladies, I love you, and please know that I'm saying this as a joke. Well, I don't really mean this.
And before he says this, if you'd like to send hate mail, you can send it to heykelly at kellymano.com. I will make sure that it gets directly to Hoss's email inbox.
Yeah, please do. I don't understand why all these women are upset at Trump, because in one day, Trump got more fat women out walking than Michelle Obama did in 8 years.
Wow.
I mean, it's true. And that's not alternative facts. Those are real facts.
Those are true facts, inappropriate they may be, but they
as cute as they may be, they're not alternative facts, they're real facts.
They're jokes. I would just like to point out that the liberal pro-choice Stephanie is smiling over there at that joke.
You can have fun and
she's
not...
She's just doing it off camera, right. off mic. So when you send your hate mail, send it to all of us.
Whatever.
I'm going to put that on loop.
Please do.
You wonder why you're single.
Right? Yeah.
He's single, ladies.
Go figure.
At least you'll get one that's... Never mind.
True.
Yeah, that's not to go there.
I can make my own sandwiches at school.
Yeah, you can make your own sandwiches and keep that stance and you'll land a wife who shaves her armpits. So
sweet.
That is our show for today. Check out kellymano.com all this week, because I am back from vacation and I am in working mode. So we are going to have a lot of content up this week at kellymano.com. I've got a couple pieces that I've written. I've got another storytelling podcast that I've done. Maybe we'll get together again this week and do another show.
Sure.
Maybe we'll lie and say we will and then we won't.
We do that.
We do that quite a bit. But until we see you the next time. Oh, if you like the show, share the show.
Yeah.
If you're like, hey, this show's kind of funny, more people should listen to it. You just go to Facebook and be like, hey, check out the Kelly Mano show. So
if you want to go listen to what this a-hole said, share the show.
Yeah. If you want to start, there's going to be a women's march to your house tonight. Yeah.
Sweet.
not that kind. Oh.
Time to make
Sorry.
The sandwiches.
Drag. Listen, people, I only got so much bread and lunch meat.
All right.
I like pie. You guys can make pie.
All right. Until we see you next week, be good, have fun, stay sassy, classy, and a bit smartassy, and I'll add a little girl power in there.
Yeah, girl power.
Hoss, anything for the ladies, for the guys?
6 months till Christmas.
6 months till Christmas, which is when Hoss's boyfriend comes to town.
Yeah. Correct.
And we will have Guns N' Roses tickets to give away.
It won't be easy.
It won't be easy to win them, and they're not going to be ready until probably about April we'll start the run to give those away. So, all right, we love you for listening. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the Spice Girls. 'Cause the lady is the best.
she's a vixen, not a tramp. She's a da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Come on, fellas, place your bets, cause you ain't seen nothing yet. She's the top of the top, she's the best. Yes. Scary, raving, ginger, posh, sporty. Yes, now that's a lot. Where the spice goes, ready to go. Ladies and gents, can you please take your seats, and we hope that you enjoy the show.
Thank you very much.